I'm Leslie.
And I'm Tamara.
And welcome to The Crimes We're Into.
I just wanted to let y'all know this intro is going to be a little bit different than normal. It is just me today for the intro only. Our episode was pre-recorded, so Tamara will be in the episode, but the intro we normally do like a few days before the episode comes out. Since this kind of falls right there during Tamara's wedding, she is not here to record with me because it's her wedding day. We always record the Sunday before our episode goes live, and today's Tamara's wedding day. So I was like, yeah, don't want to bug Tamara to be like, hey, let's do our shout outs. So everybody, wish Tamara a happy wedding day, and let's just hurry up and hop into these shout outs and reviews so I can like get over there to the wedding. But first, we want to give a shout out to Sam, Julia, Jessica, Misty, and Deborah. And then our review for the week, y'all all know I have like issues saying words, I have issues with names, and I don't even know how to even try to pronounce this name. I'm just gonna call you Kay from France because that's where you're from. So I'm pretty sure we don't have too many people from France that are, you know, listening to us. So if you left a iTunes review and your username starts with a K, thank you. So it says, obsessed. I am madly in love with true crime and murder mysteries, and this podcast delivers them in a cool way. I'm binging all the episodes and I need more. Thank you. And oh my gosh, I was actually able to read that. Perfect. So y'all, it's Tamara who causes all the bloopers. Just saying. Anyways, I hope you enjoy our episode. This episode does have a little special guest in it. It is Tamara's daughter. We didn't have anybody to watch her during it, so she does make a little appearances throughout it, and it kind of like plays out perfectly at the end. But I hope y'all all enjoy, and make sure you wish Tamara a happy wedding day. All right, Tamara, have you ever been to the Biltmore House?
No, but I may or may not want to after this.
I want to go so bad, but we may have to, like, take a family trip up there one day.
Okay.
Possibly. We'll see.
Okay. We'll see after we hear this story if I'll go or not. So, I know it takes really good pictures because it's so pretty, but we'll see.
Well, the Biltmore House, for those that do not know, is located in Asheville, North Carolina, and it is the largest privately owned house in the United States. And it was originally built to be just a vacation home.
What?
Yeah, like, I'm that bougie. Like,
so, how big was their actual home?
It was huge. We're going to go into details in a second of how big this house is.
Okay.
But, so let me tell you about George. George Vanderbilt is the one that built this house. And George was born in New York in 1862. And he was born into money.
Okay.
Like, tons of money. His grandpa had more money than the United States Treasury.
What?
Type of money. Bougie rich. In 1886, he traveled to Asheville, North Carolina with his mother and fell in love with the mountains. And he decided at the age 26, I'm going to build a vacation house here. And he said, something with a little yard would be nice. So he purchased
100 acres? 100 acre woods.
125,000 acres.
Oh, see, I'd never been, but I knew it was big and I knew it wasn't little.
His little acreage.
100,000?
125. 5,000.
Holy cow.
His little acreage. So you want me to tell you about his little acreage and little house?
Okay.
So this house was built in 1895. It is measured not by square feet because, you know, like...
That'd be too much.
Yeah. So they measure it also in acres.
Oh my gosh.
And it's 4 acres.
Holy cow. I don't even think I've ever... I can't say that. In Oklahoma, there's a lot of 4 acres, like yardage, not homes.
This, what we live. This 4.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yes. So there was 250 rooms, 35 bedrooms, 65 fireplaces, 43 bathrooms.
For a vacation home.
3 kitchens, and a 1,200 square foot carriage house. Yes. For his little acreage. Just something little, something nice.
For a vacation.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, we'll take a 2-bedroom, like, shack on the lake or a beach. Like, that would be my vacation house that I would be able to purchase.
Or just a 2-star hotel.
Don't judge me, okay? So.
No, I learned from you. You've already stayed in 2 hotels that you have told a story about.
Well, I'm making good content here, okay?
You have at it.
So on June 1st, 1898, George marries Edith in a Paris, France.
Wee wee. Don't that mean you gotta pee?
I don't know what it means in French.
You're probably saying, I gotta pee.
So in August of 1890, they had their daughter named Cornelia. And I feel like that's so proper. Like, Cornelia.
I mean, it is, but it's, you never hear that name either.
I know. But a little fun fact that you might want to know. George and Edith had tickets for the Titanic. And then changed their mind last minute because they're like,
smart.
This ship is not leaving out exactly when it's supposed to. It's running behind. So we're going to take this ship over here. I mean, good for them because they didn't die, but their luggage and one of their servants was not so lucky because they were still on the Titanic.
I'm sure the luggage didn't mind. The servant, I feel sorry for.
So, George and Edith loved to throw parties. Loved it. And at Christmas time, George loved to decorate Christmas trees. He loved to give out presents to all the kids. And I'm like, where is my present? Like, here. Hook me up. And so George was like super proud of his library. He would spend tons of time in there and just like get really into some of the rare books he had.
Okay.
Whenever a storm was coming, George would always go and watch it come in through his library. So I'm guessing like in the library they probably have like a
huge window.
Yeah, like a window wall or something. Whenever George got his, like, you know, huge, like, inheritance, a large portion of it went to construct a private railway to bring his friends and family to the house.
From where?
I guess from wherever they lived. They were from New York, so I guess from New York to the house.
So I wonder if you go visit... I wonder if you go visit, if you can see the railroad.
I don't know. So let me tell you a little bit more about inside the house. So we already know, we kind of talked about the library and how huge it was. But it was 2 stories tall. 53-foot wide, 72-foot long. Like a huge library. Like.
Holy. The library was 2 stories?
Yes, the library was 2 stories.
I thought the whole place was 2 stories. Is it? It don't say how many stories it is, right?
I don't know.
That it's 4 acres?
Yes, it's 4 acres.
But I don't think it's that tall. It's just wide.
I was thinking it's at least 4 stories. I don't know. We'll have to see. You Googling it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see if we can find some pictures.
So... this is the first ever house to have its own private bowling alley, the first
house to have indoor plumbing, electricity, running hot water, a fridge and a heater, a art gallery, a gym, a heated pool with a light. Apparently, like, a light was, like, a big woo thing.
Yeah, I think it's 1800s.
But it's just, like, it's heated. But they're like, oh, it's a light.
Okay, it's a bit taller than I was picturing. I don't know what I was picturing, but holy cow, this is a castle.
Yeah.
That's, like, 4 acres in the front yard.
Yeah, like, it's a huge house.
They had an intercom system, a fire alarm system, all installed in this house.
And if all that wasn't awesome enough for a house built in the 1800s, they had a secret room and secret passageways.
That's insane.
Like, these rooms were, like, designed so servants could kind of, like, move in between rooms seamlessly. So, like, you wouldn't see the hustle and bustle of like, cleaning. Everything going on. And it would just be, like, somebody, like, emerging from the wall, like, a little secret door, like, open. And so, I mean, it was crazy how they described it. But in his library, he had a secret passageway to a guest bedroom. And in the hall, it was a small little reading area that he called his den. So if his library wasn't big enough for him to read it, he had a secret reading den. In the billard room, next to a fireplace.
I wonder if people can actually go in them.
So in the billard room, next to a fireplace, there was a hidden door. And in that door was a smoke room. Okay, hold on, let's see.
Back it up. Rewind.
Back it up. Okay, so next to the fireplace was a hidden door that went into a smoke room, and inside that room went into a gun room. Yeah, so it's like a room inside a room inside a room.
So like a hall, two rooms, like, the hall was the size of a room that they made into a room to go to another room.
No, I think it was like a room, kind of like a bedroom. It was like the billiard room, whatever a billiard is. Is that like a pool room?
I think so.
Okay, so it was the billiard room, and inside there was a secret door next to the fireplace that would take you to where they would smoke their cigars. The guys only would smoke cigars in this smoke room on Sundays.
Okay.
Okay, so that remember that. But they had a underground tunnel that would go from the house to the farm.
Like and a pig farm?
I don't know if it just had pigs, but it was a farm. Like, now that farm is the winery. So, I don't know. I think it was a dairy farm. I think they had a dairy farm.
Okay.
They had a tunnel that would go from the house to the farm. And then they had trap doors in the floor. So, in 1914, George died after having complications to a surgery. And Edith would sit next to the fireplace and just talk to her husband. I'm like, no. Like, she missed her husband. I mean, it's so sad. After George's death, Edith sold almost all of the land. All she had left was 8,000 acres. That face, like, only.
Okay.
So, guess how much she sold the land for?
$3,500 million.
And with me and Anthony looking for land and wanting to buy land.
This is a really good deal, I guess.
This is a really good deal, and it makes me sick to my stomach. Knowing
well, this is also the 1800s.
Yeah, but she sold it for $5 an acre. Yeah. $5 an acre. I mean, she still made $500,000, but she sold it for $5 an acre.
Holy cow.
Nowadays, $5 an acre for the amount that she sold would be $21 million, but yeah, $5 an acre.
Wow.
And we're looking at stuff that's like $5,000 plus an acre.
Yeah.
So his estate went to their two daughters,
and their two sons. So George's oldest took the farm, which is now the winery. And the reason why they took the farm is at the time, the dairy farm was more profitable than the house, of course. Like, the house wasn't bringing in all the people, you know. They decided to open up the estate to the public in 1930. And ever since then, it's been rumored that the founder of the Biltmore House, George, has still been
seen
around. So let's talk more about the ghostly stuff that happens here. And we'll see if we want to go. So shadow figures have been seen in the library normally when a storm comes. You can hear a lady whisper, "George," in the library. Then, then, when Edith would talk to George after he died, workers had said they started feeling something in the house.
I guess they would feel like a spirit was there.
And then they felt it more in the library. And in George's favorite sitting room. So those two rooms, they felt
he was there.
After Edith died, they could still hear her talking to George. Something in her voice sometimes, or even sometimes both of their voices.
What?
Like, after they both were dead, they could either hear her voice, or they could hear both voices talking.
Crazy.
If you go into Edith's bedroom, you would get like an anxious feeling. In the pool, a lot of action happens. You can hear laughter, splashing, and the pool is no longer used. Shadow figures have been seen walking over the pool. People have reported feeling nauseous, anxious once you get close to the pool, and then once you leave, it clears up.
Sometimes, I already get anxious enough.
Sometimes people have felt like they were drowning when walking in that room. You can hear sounds of like party glasses clinking and loud music. And then on the stairwell, it feels like someone is staring at you and then bumps into you, but no one's there. Workers have heard stuff move when they go upstairs. There's nobody there. There's been a man in a suit sitting at a table in the sitting room with his back towards you. And the closer you get to this man, he disappears. Okay, you remember what I said about the smoking room?
Yeah. On Sundays, it smokes up.
On Sundays, you can smell smoke coming from the smoke room.
Would you want to go on a rainy Sunday to get the
full? I kind of do. Yes. That's what I figured. I was like, if we went, I would want to go on a Sunday to see if I'd smell smoke. And then I would want to go on a rainy day to see if a storm's coming. You know, like if you see him. There's cold spots. And then people have reported wind hitting their necks.
Oh.
Yeah. People have felt something tug on their shirt or pants.
I would flip out.
I don't think it's kind of like a mean tug. It's kind of like a, you know, kind of like a kid. Like, and the reason why I'm saying that is this next part. But I'm going to tell you like one weird kind of funny thing before I get to the possibly kid tugging. They have, I don't know if this is workers or if it's gas. But people have seen headless ghost cats.
What?
In the garden.
What? Headless? Why they gotta be headless?
I don't know.
Like, once they're a ghost, would they not have their body back?
It's a headless cat in the garden.
I would flip. I thought, let's go. Let's, right now, let's
see, go. Like, everything seems kind of like good, other than the drowning and feeling anxious, because, like, that would mess me up. But the ghost cats are kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because they're headless.
That would freak me out. I'd probably throw up. If they were, like, bloody necked or something, I'd throw up.
Okay.
Do they, like, run into stuff?
I don't know. How I picture it is I see, like,
Because I've never been there. A black cat
just walking around without a head?
I see a black cat kind of like in the garden area. So I picture like vines. I picture kind of like the Columbia Zoo where they have like the... Where they have the plants, but it's kind of like raised off the ground. Yeah. It's kind of like the little...
botanical garden type?
Yeah, where it's kind of like off the ground and kind of like a cement type thing. I picture cats sitting on that cement, jumping and hopping off and going to other like cement benches. Okay, so one employee has heard a little girl crying and talking. Oh my gosh! I heard it too. I couldn't find anything about that on any other podcast I listened to, but you know, like.
What, hearing the kids talk?
Yeah.
It's a little bonus feature.
Yeah, y'all let me know if y'all have heard a little kid talking throughout this podcast. But let me tell you what I did hear about the little girl crying and talking. I should laugh as I start to say this, but I'm just. Let's get it together. So, one of the workers who worked on the farm, she would bring her daughter, Olivia, to work with her. One day, Olivia was out in the field playing, and then there was a stampede.
Oh.
Yeah. So, now, the ghost of Olivia likes to play tricks on people at the Biltmore.
Oh.
Yeah. Electrician... electrician, got into an empty elevator and heard a little girl's voice say, "Going down."
Oh my god.
I was like, no, going up? Like, not going down. No.
Getting out?
Like, oh my god. Like, that would scare the living bejesus out of me.
I'm like, funny, guys. You can cut the microphone off.
Then an employee was down in the basement when he was down there working to move around. And he's like, oh, I bet it's the security wondering if someone's down here. So
I'm the security.
So he went to get the security guard, but the light was moving crazy fast. And then he yells out, hello? And a voice says, Mama? And starts giggling.
Oh,
I got goosebumps so bad, like, oh.
Oh my gosh. If she would have said, Mama, right then, because that's about the only three words she can say.
Or if she said, going down.
She ain't learned that yet.
But a few fun facts about... The Biltmore House. It's been in a few movies. Forrest Gump, which I didn't know was in Forrest Gump.
I think I did.
It's been...
I think, is that not where he sits outside of on the bench?
Maybe. It's been in Richie Rich.
And well, that's the house that they live in, yeah. Right?
And then I have Hannah. But I don't know what Hannah is. I'm about to Google what Hannah is.
All right, you ready for our ding-dong of the day?
I'm ready for the ding-dong of the day.
All right, this one tried to be smooth and slick, but obviously backfired. All right, so bank robber hands a teller a note.
Okay.
With his name and address on it. Yeah, some bank robbers wear wigs, others put masks on. This one, investigators say, made little effort to conceal his identity. He was arrested after ordering a teller to hand over cash from the U.S. bank in Cleveland using a note with his full name and address on it, says the FBI.
What a ding dong. But... it's like,
it happens.
Y'all are stupid.
Follow us on our Facebook page at TCWI Podcast or hit us up on our Gmail at TheCrimesAreInto. Donate to our Patreon at TheCrimesAreInto Podcast. Also, leave a review and we'll give you a shout out during next week's episode.